بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين، وعلى سيدي ومولاي الإمام أبي عبد الله الحسين، وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه الميامين، ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا، إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا، صدق الله العلي العظيم. One of the most important theological and philosophical concept that we discuss most of the times and we ask about, because sometimes this concept creates confusion. This concept is our fortune or misfortune predestined upon us? Does it come with birth? Is it inherent, inherited? We take it from our parents, from our grandparents, or it is something that we decide ourselves? It is something that we earn through our choice and a free will. What is the answer? There are two groups of philosophers, not only in Islam, but in other religions too. First group believes that the fortune, the happiness, the prosperity of any community, any society, any family, any individual has been predestined upon them by God, and they have no choice in it. This is the complete will of God. Humans have no role in their fortune or misfortune. Whatever they say, they are not going to make any difference. It's all controlled and decided and ordained by God upon them. The second school argues that fortune and misfortune, as-sa'adatu wa-shaqa', it is earned by us. We are the builders, we are the makers, we are the manufacturers, if you will, of our fortune and misfortune. Yes, we get help from God, guidance from God, approval from God, partnership with God. But it is not done in isolation from our own free will and our own free choice. And therefore, in chapter 76, Surah Al-Insan, إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجًا نَبْتَلِيهِ. Indeed, we have created man from a single mixed drop. مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ. So we put him to test, نَبْتَلِيهِ. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. We made him, and her of course, both genders, سَمِيعًا, hearing, بَصِيرًا, seeing. Meaning we provided them with means of understanding, with means of free choice and free will and comprehension and intelligence. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ. Then we guided him, إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. Either be it grateful or be it ungrateful. So it's up to us. Yes, we need God's help. We definitely need God's guidance. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. It's only those that God guides can be guided. And those who God misguides, nobody is going to guide them other than God. This is a pre-Islamic concept, if you will. Even a biblical concept. Whether we are fortunate or misfortunate by us or God. Let me share with you what is here in the Holy Bible. In the book of Psalms. And this is book of Psalms. And this is 51 verse 5. Let me read for you what the book of Psalms say. Behold, number 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And in sin did my mother conceive me. This is attributed to David. In sin my mother conceived me. So from the beginning of my creation, according to the Holy Bible, we were sinners. We were misfortunate. We were guilty. We were not innocent. There are similar narrations to what we read in the Bible in the hadith of the Prophet, attributed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sa'id man sa'ida aw sa'uda fi batni ummihi wash-shaqiy man shaqiya fi batni ummihi. The fortunate, the happy today, the successful, the one who has A plus grades in school, the one who makes a lot of money, is the one who received happiness and fortune in his mother's womb. Washaqi, on the other hand, the misfortunate, the loser, is the one man shaqiya fi batni ummah. Again, his journey of misery and failure started in his mother's womb. Now, there are two understandings and two approaches to this hadith. One approach is negative, one is positive. The negative one asserts what the Bible says, that from the time of conception of our mothers with us, we begin the journey of misery or happiness. Nothing we can do about it. It has been predestined upon us, ordained upon us. So this first approach believes that God decides from the day our mother conceives with us that this group are happy, this group are sad, this group are successful, this group are failures. The second approach, however, which is more accurate, which is consistent with this book, the Holy Quran. The second approach says, As-sa'id man sa'uda fi batni ummihi wash-shaqiy man shaqiya fi batni ummihi means that God knows about those who are going to be successful as well as those who are going to be failures. From day one, even before they come into this life, God knows about them. Not that God imposed fortune or misfortune upon them. He knows. It's like a teacher. Let me give this parable, make it easy for us to understand. Professor, teacher, who knows his students from day one when they come to the class. He knows some of them are hardworking, intelligent, serious. They want to be successful. They want to do their work. And others are sleepy. They always come late. The professor is speaking and they are thinking of something else. He knows those are failures. So this is the meaning of this hadith. Now, we come to this concept of al-adlul ilahi, the divine justice. We know we have three main schools, philosophical schools in Islam. One is Ash'arite, the second is Mu'tazilite, the third is Imamite, al-Imamiyya, al-Adliyya. Mu'tazilite or Ash'arite, let's begin with Ash'arites, the followers of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. They argue that Husn and Qubh, Adl and Dhulm, beauty and ugliness, justice and injustice, these are umur i'tibariyya, postulates or nominal acts, artificial acts, artificial concepts, man-made, if you will, man-made concepts. These are not laysat aqliyya aw dhatiyya. These are not rational or essential concepts. These are made by us. We look at things and we decide this is a beautiful. And then we look at other things and we decide they are not attractive. We look at things and we say this is justice. And we look at other things and we say this is injustice. But God has different standards, because God is above our understanding. And God is above our own standards. God is different. And they bring verses from the Quran. They say, God, Malikul Mulk, قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. God has different standards. God is not binding by our own standards. God does not have to follow us. And therefore, no one has right upon God. And God can do whatever He likes. No one can tell Him this is right and this is wrong. لا يسأل, they bring another verse. لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. God, His Majesty, nobody asks Him or questions Him about what He does. But we are asked. We are judged. We will be held accountable, but no one is going to hold His Majesty, the God, because He's above the law. And because we are Mamluk, we are slaves, so we have no choice. And we have even no say. God can play with us. Literally, He can play with us. God, on the Day of Judgment, if He decides to send scores of believers to hellfire, He can do that. Nobody can question Him. Nobody can object. And God can take a group of sinners and violators and losers and He puts them in first class paradise. And nobody can question Him. This is their argument. The Ash'arite, Al-Ash'ara. The Mu'tazilites, Al-Mu'tazila. And the Imamites, Al-Adliya, which is the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Mu'tazilites, by the way, are Sunnis. And Al-Adliya are Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Imamites, Al-Imamiyya. They say, hold on. But then what about this book? What about the verse in this book in chapter 6, verse 54, Suratul An'am? وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. God has prescribed upon Himself justice and mercy. He cannot get away from justice. He cannot play with us. Because He prescribed upon Himself. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Another verse in Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is chapter 9, verse 70. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. God were not to wrong the people. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. In fact, they are the one that wrong themselves. In chapter Al-Imran, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. God is bears witness, and the angels and the possessors of knowledge, قائماً بالقسط, upholding justice. God is upholding justice. God is not above the law. He created the law. And He prescribed this law upon Himself. Yes, He has complete and absolute free will. No one can judge Him. No one can hold Him accountable. But He sticks to the rules and regulations that He drew for us. He created for us. And He's the first one who follow His own rules. And that would not hurt His majesty. Surah Al-Anbiya, which is chapter 21, verse 47. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ God says, we shall set the justice scales for the day of judgment. We shall set the justice scales for the day of judgment. فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا No soul is going to be wronged in any way. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ And even if it is, the deed is the weight of a small mustard seed, we still will bring it forth. وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ So this is what he says about himself. And therefore, the Mu'tazilites and the Imamites believe in divine justice and they consider it to be part of the fundamentals of religion. Usuluddin. Because if you separate justice from God, the entire universe is going to crash down. The entire universe. بِالْعَدْلِ قَامَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ Through justice, the entire universe is standing. And God would not detach Himself from divine justice. And God would never wrong any person. So He would not create someone from day one when he is in his mother's womb. He would not create him a miserable person or a homeless person or a person that has no hope in this life. Neither He is going to force someone who is a loser and lazy and make him the more successful from day one. God does not do that. God wishes success for all of us. Yes, in our mother's wombs, He will provide us. Inna hadaynahu sabil. We provide humans with all means of success. But at the end of the day, we leave it for them to decide. We don't impose on them anything. This is number one argument. Number two. If God is supposed to strip us off free will and free choice, then why there is compensation? Why there is retribution? If God wants to send someone to hellfire from day one, then why He created the system of retribution and compensation? And what is the benefit? It becomes meaningless. Compensation here or even retribution becomes meaningless. If God's supposed to take someone by force, by coercion, predestines him to go to hellfire, then why did he bring him into this life in the first place? Let's buy him one-way ticket, non-stop flight to hellfire from day one. Why he's bringing him into this life? This life is the life of test, imtihan. Imtihan. We are tested here. We are here to know our place there, to decide our place there. And God would never, ever make someone shaqi, misfortunate by force, or imposes shaqa or misfortunate upon him. Neither, he doesn't do that. It contradicts the principle of justice. It contradicts the principle of retribution and compensation. الثواب والعقاب. It becomes meaningless. God leaves these issues for us to decide. God's policy is not temperamental, is not moody, is not random, is not selective. His work is not selective. God's policy is based on hikmah, wisdom, prudence, and on justice. Remember, two things, two pillars of God's policy. Number one, hikmah, wisdom, prudence. The second, firmness and justice. Number three, if we claim that our fortune and misfortune is controlled by us and decided by us, we are the one who make ourselves fortunate in this life and in the hereafter. Or, God forbids, misfortunate and miserable in this life and the hereafter, then what are you going to say about divine decree, al-qada'u wal-qadr? And what is the meaning of tawheed al-af'al, the unity of the deeds? Unity of the deeds, part of monotheism, means that every action, every motion, every movement in this universe belongs to God. It doesn't take a place without His permission, without His approval. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Nothing happens in this universe without His permission. So, how do you reconcile between us having the choice, we drawing our fortune or misfortune, and between God's divine decree? How do you reconcile? Divine decree does not mean God forces us. It does not mean jabr or coercion. It means we still can have a choice, but with God's approval, with God's will, with God's knowledge. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You cannot want something or do something without the approval of God. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Don't all of a sudden say, I am going to do this tomorrow, without saying, inshallah, if God wills. Means that anything, even with a free choice, when I have, still I have a free choice, I can choose my path. But then I have to say with God's will. God's will is important. I'll give you an example. You have a son, you have a daughter, grown up, mature, even intelligent, and independent. What else do you want? But sometimes the parents, the good parents though, sometimes interfere in their children's life, when they sense that something wrong is going. Something is going wrong, they will interfere in their children's life, even if the children are independent. Why? Because they have more knowledge, more experience, maybe more wisdom in this life. Okay? So that does not hurt their kids being independent. It doesn't hurt. That would complement their children's decision and a free will. Hence, it's the same with God. God does not just create us and sits there on His throne, as some people believe, and He watches us, and He says, you can enjoy your life, I'm not going to interfere. No, 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 no. He's not going to do that. God creates and does interfere for our benefit, for our good, for our interest. Sometimes God prevents you from traveling. You decide, you've purchased the ticket, you are about to go to the airport, something happens, stops you. This is divine decree. God stops you from doing something because He knows this thing is not good for you. And he wishes you goodness. And therefore, we always have to ask God, oh God, if you know I'm going to do something which is not right, you stop me, you prevent me, you intercept, and don't let me do it. In their trip to Sham, the province of Anbar, Imam Ali was leaving Kufa with some of his companions on the trip to Anbar to face the army of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan in the Battle of Safin. Someone came along, approached the Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he asked him this question. أَكَانَ مَسِيرُنَا إِلَى الشَّامِ بِقَضَاءٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْرٍ. Is our journey this, to Sham, to combat Muawiyah and his army, is it with God's divine decree? Imam said, absolutely yes. He said, the soldier said, عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَحْتَسِبُ عَنَائِي. Then all my work and all my effort is gone, is wasted, because God imposes on me this journey. So I'm not going to be rewarded for something that I have been forced to do and I have no choice in it. Imam said to him, no, no, no. Imam said to him, لَعَلَّكَ خِلْتَ قَضَاءً لَازِمًا وَقَدَرًا حَاتِمًا وَلَوْ كَانَ كَذَلِكَ لبطل الثواب والعقاب وسقط الوعد والوعيد وأن الله أمر عباده تخييرا ونهاهم تحذيرا. This is in Nahj al-Balagh. Amir al-Mu'mineen said to him, no, don't go that far. It is with God's, the trip that we are taking and making now, it is with God's divine decree and divine will. But it has not imposed on us. You still have the will and the freedom to refuse to come, to disobey. You still, nothing has been imposed on you without your own will. God is working with us in collaboration with us, not in isolation from us. Always remember, when it comes to a believer, God works with him, not against him, in collaboration with him or her, not in isolation of him or her. Yes, he sometimes plans for us, but this planning is according to our own will too, not against our will. This is the meaning of divine decree. And therefore, let's go to conclusion. Who makes us fortunate or non-fortunate or disfortunate? It's us, with the help of God, with God's permission, with God's will to, not in isolation from God. And therefore, there is no one which is born, predestined, or ordained to be evil from day one. No one. In fact, God wants all people to be successful. And he gives them the choice. Some of them accept that choice. Some of them refuse. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. Just 2 minutes, story from Ashura. Hamid ibn Muslim was like a journalist in the desert of Karbala on the 10th of Muharram 61. He says, I was standing outside the camp of Imam Hussein when the camp was ransacked and burnt out and destroyed by the army of Umar ibn Sa'd, the army of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. The fire engulfed the entire camp of Imam Hussein. Women, kids, maybe some 80, 90 women and kids were inside the tents. They started running away, running around. They were scattered all over in the desert. I noticed a young girl, very young. تعلقت النيران بأطراف ثيابها. Her dress caught fire. So I was worried about her. So I rushed towards her to save her. She was petrified. She said, Ya Sheikh, أنت لنا أم علينا؟ Are you for us or against us? I said, لا لكم ولا عليكم. Neither one. I'm neutral here. I'm an observant. Observing what is happening. Watching what is happening. And I'm trying to help you. So don't be fearful. She said, I thank you for that. But can you lead me towards Al-Ghari? Al-Ghari is the ancient name of Najaf. I said, why do you want to go that far? It's about 80 kilometers. Your family are here. She said, ذكرت لي عمتي زينب. My aunt, which is here, Lady Zainab, she mentioned to me that إِنَّ لَنَا قَبْرًا بِالنَّجَفِ وَهُوَ قَبْرُ جَدِّي أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's the grave of my grandfather, Imam Ali عليه السلام. مَا أَتَاهُ مَظْلُومٌ أَوْ مَلْهُوفٌ أَوْ صَاحِبُ حَاجَةٍ إِلَّا وَفَرَّجَ اللَّهُ هَمَّهُ. Whenever there is a distressed or a person who has been wronged or hurt comes to his shrine, God is going to fulfill the needs for him. And I want to go there and seek refuge because I have no house anymore. I turned to her, I said, but there is a huge distance. وَأَخْشَى عَلَيْكِ مِنْ حَوَافِرِ الْخَيْلِ. You're going to be destroyed on the way there to Najaf. I fear that you're going to die. She said, then if you don't take me to Najaf, take me to the banks of the Euphrates. I said, why the banks of the Euphrates? She said, I have a fallen uncle there, Al-Abbas. Maybe he can hold my hand and save my life. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik wa anakhat bi rahlik. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أنصار الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.